الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الأمين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah in spite of the difficulties we are going through. And we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah alone with no partners. He is the helper and He is the protector of the believers. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger, the one who was entrusted with the message of Islam, which he conveyed completely. May Allah exalt His mention. May Allah grant Him peace, His companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the end of time. Brothers in Islam, those who are coming late, kindly do not walk in this fashion over the shoulders of your brothers. This is prohibited on Yawmul Jumu'ah. Wherever you find a location, sit down. When we observe what is happening to the Muslims, and if we still have some feelings left, some care, some concern, we would inevitably feel bad. We would feel guilty. And we would feel helpless. This is a natural human reaction. When one sees people in general suffering, let alone brothers in faith, let alone brothers from a particular blessed geographical location, per the Quran and the Sunnah, this blessed area of Sham, when the Muslims over there are dying while we are sitting now, as you are enjoying yourself, even if it's slightly hot, even if you couldn't find a parking spot, even if someone bothered you next to you, you are still enjoying yourself. They cannot. Some of them can't find anything to eat. And some of them don't know when the next shell will drop on them and kill the family. And if you have seen some of the videos on YouTube, the graphic content of children dying, and you had a child of your own, which you freely look at, you freely kiss, you freely hug and embrace, then you see them hugging their kids after they had died. Nothing that they can do. If we still have feelings, we will feel bad. But that's not enough. In fact, that's nothing. You could see a cat get run over, and you see it struggling before it dies, and your heart will crunch because of a cat. It doesn't concern you. It doesn't have qiyamah. It doesn't have judgment. It doesn't have any of the accountabilities that we will have in terms of Jannah and Jahannam. Still, if a cat were to die before you, you would feel bad. And so feeling bad is not the solution. Nor is making dua in the salawat. Not that that is not part of the solution. It is part of the solution. It has its weight, it has its value and its effectiveness. But to think that by merely standing in the five daily prayers, raising our hand behind an imam, while we usually don't even know what he's saying, we don't know Arabic, so we just say Ameen, 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 hoping that we have done our job before Allah, we are dead wrong. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. And it is not a light matter either. This is not a matter of choice. It's not a club which you can join or refuse to join. This is an obligation on us. that we do something about it. That thing which we do about it has different dimensions, different ways, different means. Some of them are physical. Some of them require the involvement of the neighboring countries in armed struggle. Because the scholars say the nearest, the Muslims who are being afflicted with calamities, the obligation is on the people of that country and then the neighboring countries accordingly. The further or farther you get in terms of distance, the lesser the obligation. People around there cannot be watching while this is happening. And if the rulers were to call on us to go and fight fi sabilillah, we have to get up and leave. However, we are not people who are chaotic and unorganized so that one person will arrange his own group and go. Because this is not how jihad is done in Islam. Even in these times of difficulties, we have to subdue our emotions and adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have rulers, so we have to abide by the injunctions. But if it were to be made that call, will you be able to go, brother? I'll tell you what. It is not a surprise that they don't call for this today. Because the ummah is not ready. You see, jihad is the peak of all things. After we know the deen, we practice the deen, we live the deen, we enjoin the good, forbid the evil, we get up for Salatul Fajr every day. We don't miss Salatul Jama'ah. When we have done all that as an ummah, then when that comes, we will be able to handle business. But if that call was made today, a minority will adhere and go. The majority love the dunya way too much to leave it. And if they have fooled themselves to say, no, I know myself, I know I have shortcomings in all of these, but if that call was made, I will be there. Let me tell you something. Don't let the shaitan use you as a toy in his hand. You need to be realistic in your self-evaluation. You see, I'll give you an example which you can relate to. Everybody knows that when you go on Hajj, if you leave argumentation, if you don't sin, your Hajj is accepted. And even if we are among those who argue much in our daily lives and we sin, we convince ourselves, but when I go on Hajj these few days, I'm not going to do it. It's easy. I'll be able to do it. And as soon as they get to Hajj, in fact, before they make it, they're already arguing with the driver, arguing with the people, they're already cursing each other out. You see this with your own eyes in Hajj. People fist fighting and punching each other. What happened? All of a sudden, the woman doing tawaf become more attractive than the naked lady on the TV. Because we haven't trained ourselves outside of Hajj to be able to handle Hajj. So when Hajj comes and push comes to shove, we don't do anything. We go back with the worse condition than the one we went. Hajj was void, unaccepted, or unacceptable. It's the same mentality. So we have to be realistic. Look for Salatul Fajr. I don't have to go far. You don't have to go far. Salatul Fajr. Salatul Fajr. The most difficult salah for the munafiqeen. The hypocrite per the explicit description of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And had they known that they will get some nice meat for Salatul Fajr, wallahi they would have showed up. And you apply the same principle today. You say to the people, look, the first person to enter masjid for Fajr, we will give him a BMW. Wallahi, the people will be standing in row fighting at the door. Get out of my face, man. I'm the first one who came here. They will have a tabur and they will write, just like in Jawazat in different places, write your name. I came first. But there's no Mercedes, there's no BMW, there's a pillow. Oh, now the salah has become heavy. Now I can't wake up, brother. I don't know why. I just can't wake up. I'm exhausted. Yes, the shaitan has exhausted you. That's it. Don't tell me your physical ability prevents you from waking up at this time while the kuffar do it for their dog to defecate. They do every day. Wake up 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, take the puppy out so he can handle his business and bring it back home. Oh, they, the kuffar can do that. Fi sabili kalb. And you can't do this fi sabili la. Can't get up for Salat al-Fajr, talk about you're going to go and do this and do that. You're not going to do anything. Neither will I. If we can't adhere to Islam. So let us be realistic. It is nice to have high aspirations. However, you have to practically apply things so we can make a move. And when we want to look for solutions for the problem we are suffering, you're not going to find it on CNN. You're not going to find it with the United Nations. You're not going to find it in some observation of some disbeliever. You will find it in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the question is, okay, where in the Quran and the Sunnah does it direct us in regards to this dilemma? Surah An-Nur, Ayah 55. I usually don't give references, but this one is specially for you, so you can go back home and read it. And read the tafsir. And every day we should ask ourselves, what am I doing in regards to this ayah? Because we are guilty in regards to our brothers in Syria, Afghanistan, Palestine, and all these places because of our shortcomings here in Jeddah. This is the guilt we carry. Listen to the ayah. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We will take it bit by bit. Allah promises. And the verb is that used here, the tense, is the present tense. In this particular ayah, afwan, it is the past tense. It's a promise with Allah that is concluded. No one can change it. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah promised those who believe amongst you. How much do we believe? And what is belief? And how high does it get? And how low does it go? Do we know these things? If you don't even know these things, you're already off the track. If you're thinking right now, what's up with Iman? Does it go up? Does it go down? Or what exactly is Iman? And you're thinking merely believe in Allah, believe in His angels, believe in His messengers. You are off the track, my brother. There's a lot more to Iman than that. But I can't explain it now. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they do righteousness, they do righteous deeds. Because it's easy to talk, but it's difficult to live up to your talk. They do righteous deeds. What is the promise of Allah? لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah shall give them power, inheritance of power on earth, like He gave it to the nations that preceded them. The first thing Allah promised, He will make us the people in control. The power will be with us. The power will be in our hands, not in the hands of anybody else. This is the first promise of Allah. Because we're not doing Iman and Amal Salih accordingly, the power is not in our hand. That's the number one promise. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will give stability, will give firmness, will give Him the authority to practice the religion which He is pleased with. Not the bid'ah which we are pleased with, but the deen which Allah is pleased with. Which is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba applied in their lives. The way of the Salaf, no other way. It's like their way or the highway. If this ever applies, it applies there. It's either the way of the Salaf or the highway. Can't be having no pick and choose when it comes to what kind of deen you will be applying in your life. It is not about Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, strictly. It is about all of them. and the imams before them and the imams after them, per the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the shining, illuminating light for everyone who wants to go to Jannah. Not that you follow the imam blindly and you turn away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not that you invent and innovate into his deen that which he did not teach. Until we leave alone these things and practice the deen which Allah is pleased with, we will not be having this promise fulfilled. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Then Allah further promised that he will replace the fear which they have with peace and security. This is what we need today. Look at the fear that we have. If we were to believe and do righteous deeds, Allah will replace that fear with peace and security which we lack. Then listen to what the ayah continues. يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. They worship me alone. They associate none in worship with me. Not Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and not the Sufi master Fulani, and not the grave of this person, or the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Fulan, or Wali, or Saint, none of the above. You worship Allah alone, and there's no intermediary between you and Allah. There's no person in between, a middleman between you and Allah. He hears you when you call. End of story. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Whoever disbelieves after that, it is those who are the defiantly disobedient, corrupt people. This is the ayah. This is a promise. This is a problem. This is a solution. It's all in one. All in one. What can we do? We need to practice Islam. If you're unable to physically go, you're unable to financially help, then what you should and I should do is repent to Allah sincerely and stop sinning. The major sins and the minor sins, all of them are part of the process which destroys the ummah at large. Our individual sins are not restricted to us. Our sin will affect them over there. Our disobedience will get the children killed. So one of the things we can do is change our ways. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the ability to do so. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Brothers in Islam, the heart aches wallahi. And the words may not assist in expressing the feelings and emotions we hold in our hearts. Our brothers are dying every day. And we don't care. We really don't care. We don't care enough. Not going to negate careness completely. We don't care enough. We're so selfish. So immersed in our own selves. So concerned about our own selves. Because we're not being affected directly, we don't care. But let's put ourselves in their shoes. Let's assume that the kingdom here, where you are now, you were being attacked by the government. And alhamdulillah, the government is not crazy like the Syrian government. Alhamdulillah, they're still adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when someone speaks against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they bring him from overseas to justice over here. That doesn't happen anywhere else, just for your information, except in some rare cases. If we were in their shoes, how would we feel when the rest of the Muslim world does nothing about what's going on to us, except this dua which we are so happy with? We will be hurt. And we will feel betrayed. And maybe some of us will make a dua against them for having abandoned us while we are supposed to be a single body. When one body part aches, then the rest of the body is there for maintenance, for care, for concern. Because we don't want to be far-fetched nor perfectionists trying to acquire that which is impossible. The one thing which each one of us can do from here, which will benefit us bi-idhnillah before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which we can stand before Allah and say, oh Allah, I wasn't able to go, and I wasn't able to pay, and I wasn't able to do much, but I turned back in repentance to you, because I know that when the ummah repents, the victory of Allah comes. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you support the deen of Allah, Allah will support you and keep your feet firm. This is a promise of Allah. Can't you do that, my brother, for the sake of Allah? And then for the sake of your brothers who are suffering? Is it that difficult to stop doing these silly sins which Allah has made easy to abandon? I'm not telling you and I to become angels. We can't. You cannot become a perfect human being who is sinless. But there are things, wallahi, which we deliberately do that are so easy to leave alone. And there are venues for learning the deen which are readily available and we deliberately ignore them. There are times when we could give da'wah, but we are too chicken, too coward, too much of cowards to speak. There are many different venues. So as we can practice Islam as per the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Atba' al-Tabi'een, many. But you will find that those who are concerned, we can count them on the finger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then the rest of the 700 are too busy. Too busy with everything else except what will serve the deen of Allah and what will serve the brothers. And before that, what will serve them before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So what you can do and I can do is stop this nonsense. Do something fi sabilillah. Strive against your shaitan. We have to strive first against our shayateen. Take a covenant upon yourself never to miss Salatul Fajr again. Nor any other Salah. As long as you hear the Adhan, make it for the Jama'ah. Be dutiful to your parents. Raise your children upon the deen. Not upon cartoon and games and entertainment. That's all they know today. And secular knowledge. Raise children that can serve this deen when they grow up, that have concern. All these things are easy, and you are in the place where they are the easiest to acquire. They are places where they wished they could hear the adhan. They wished the masjid was near enough to come for salah. Wallahi, they wish for them. They travel from their kafir countries here just so they can hear the adhan and their heart find tranquility. And the adhan we heard every day, he's saying, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. And we're saying, business and work, telephone conversations, transactions and nonsense. These are things which we can leave. So I invite you, after having invited myself before I came here, don't think that I don't feel what you feel and suffer what you suffer. I had to say to myself first, that I need to repent to Allah. And I need to become serious about the deen before I tell others to do it. And I've taken that resolve, which I ask Allah to aid me and assist me to live up to it. But we have to do this. We have to, each one. This will be the last day. You'll be only concerned about yourself and not concerned about your brothers. You can't help them with anything. There's one thing that you can help them with. You return to Allah. You become a worker for this deen, a slave for this deen, a serviceman for this deen. Wallahi, if we were to do this, wallahi, we will change this world. Not us. Allah will change this world through us. This is a promise of Allah. Either we believe it or we don't. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us and forgive our shortcomings, and to aid our brothers in Syria, and to support them, and to alleviate their suffering, and to destroy their enemy, and to humiliate Bashar, and to make him an example for those who will come after. We ask Allah to destroy him like he destroyed Fir'aun and Qarun. We ask Allah to destroy them like he destroyed the people of Ad and Thamud. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to humiliate him like he's never humiliated a human being in the world, and to grant the Muslims in Sham victory over their enemies, and to give him support in the land, so that the ummah will rise and the ummah will go back to the glory which Allah had promised it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أقيم الصلاة.